Good morning and welcome to worship. I'm Pastor Molly Vetter, and it's my great joy to welcome you to worship from Westwood Church in Los Angeles. Thank you for being with us today. Whether you're a regular part of our congregation or this is the first time you found us, I hope you feel at home here with us in this virtual space. And even though we're separated by physical space, we believe that we are connected together in the body of Christ by a gift of the Holy Spirit that draws us together, even across physical distance. And we celebrate and give thanks for the diversity of the community that gathers together through Christ Church, welcoming and celebrating people of all ages and races, gender identities, and sexual orientations. Thank you for being a part of our community. We're richer because of your participation. And I hope you will participate, that you'll pray with us and sing. There is a worship guide that you can download and print out or pull up on a device. The link is in the description of this video. It enables you to participate more fully. May your heart be connected to the worship of this community as we worship today on this first Sunday of Lent, as we seek to savor life together. This morning, we savor softness, and we begin with the gift of song. May the peace of Christ be with you.
God remains faithful to the covenant of steadfast love, even when we are unfaithful. Without fear, then, we confess our sins. God of mercy, we begin this Lenten season in confession. We do not live according to your ways, but according to our own. We condone violence, participate in systems of injustice, and use power to our own advantage at the expense of others. Forgive us, we pray, when we are tempted to follow paths other than those you set before us. Teach us your commandments. Help us to turn from evil in its many guises, and turn us toward your kingdom drawing near. In covenantal love, remember us, we pray, and be for us once more and always, an ark of safety and new life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
As Noah and his family were brought safely through the flood and onto dry ground, so in baptismal waters we are brought from death into new life in Christ. Jesus, who is at the right hand of God, forgives us and reconciles us and all things in heaven and on earth. Thanks be to God for this good news.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me.
Let none that wait for you be put to shame.
Let them be ashamed who are clothed with treachery.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me.
For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long.
Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old.
Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, the Lord instructs sinners in the way and leads the humble in what is right and teaches them their way.
All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep the Lord's covenant and testimonies.
The scripture reading for today is from the first chapter of St. Mark's Gospel. In those days, Jesus came down from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. This Sunday marks the beginning of the season of Lent, a traditional season of attention and devotion that leads up until Easter. This 40-day season mirrors the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness in the scripture text that Judy read for us this morning. It mirrors also other 40s, including the 40 years the people of Israel wandered in the wilderness, the 40 days Noah was on the ark. 40 is a large number, a number that invites us to experience this season as a full and rich one, long enough to make a difference. It's traditional during the season of Lent to give extra special devotion to God. One of the most prominent practices during the season of Lent is the practice of fasting, of giving something up. The practice of fasting is not at its core a practice intended to bring us suffering, although sometimes we experience it that way. Instead, fasting is a spiritual practice that is intended to give us an occasion to shift our attention to God. By giving up some of the normal things that are a part of our day, things that sustain us, like food, things that fill our time, we, in missing those things, draw our attention to God. Notice that underneath it all, we are held by God, not by those things. The practice of fasting is one that is well known. So the question, what are you giving up for Lent, is an entirely normal one in our Christian tradition. But this Lent, as I was thinking about this season, thinking about what it would look like to invite our community into spiritual practice, I was aware of so many things that we've already given up. The gift of hugs and handshakes when we see people, the gift of closeness, of being together in a group, the gift of family celebrations in our homes, the gift of eating together with loved ones and even strangers. In this season, we've given up, some of us, our work and lost jobs. We've even lost loved ones, not only to pandemic, but to the other realities of this mortal life. And we've had to grieve alone. In this season, so much of the externals of what we normally do are inaccessible to us. And rightly so, we have to do what we can to prevent the spread of the COVID pandemic even further, recognizing how it's ravaged our communities, especially communities of color. And so we continue in this work, we persist. But this Lent, instead of inviting you to give up something else, I invite you to take on the attention part of the point of fasting. if the things we give up are not intended to induce suffering, but instead draw our attention to God, perhaps we can take this moment when there is so much we miss, and instead of being attentive to what is missing, be attentive to God's presence in our midst. This season, I invite you to the spiritual practice of savoring. I want to give thanks to the leaders of a group called Enfleshed, a collective of writers and artists who are creating resources for spiritual nourishment that leads to liberation. The leaders of this group, Anne Barclay and theologian in residence, Anna Bladel, are incredible queer theologians who are helping point us to a different way of being alive in the world. So throughout this calendar year, they're offering resources that invite us to attention to the work of savoring. And I've borrowed from their work the themes that will fill our Sundays between now and Easter. This Sunday, on the first Sunday of Lent, I invite you to the practice of savoring softness. This is a counterpoint to the lie we're told that to survive this world, you have to harden yourself and be strong. Instead, the invitation to savor softness is an invitation to let our hearts be broken open, to let our lives be tender and soft, to open ourselves to transformation. And really, the work of faith requires transformation. The call of Lent is a call to repentance, which is noticing what is broken and wrong and harmed and harmful, and an asking for a different way, an asking for transformation that leads to new life. That kind of work is impossible without tenderness and softness. Now, all my life, I have received this message from culture that the way to be strong is to be tough, to suck it up and walk it off, to brace yourself for impact, to hold tight and hold firm. And while there are aspects of that message that are helpful, left alone, that message leaves us with hard hearts. And the season of Lent invites us to lives with hearts opened to the power of transformation. Lent is all about change and transformation, a new way of seeing and being, a new way of seeing God and being in relationship with the divine and with our community. Too often when we think about repentance, we think of it as an individual practice, that you say you're sorry for what you have done wrong, that I apologize for my mistakes. But particularly as a community of faith, the work of repentance has never been one that we have to undertake alone or in isolation. And even in this season when we're physically separated from each other, we dare to undertake the practice of repentance together as a community. And it's necessary because what's wrong and broken in the world is lived out in our individual choices, but also belongs to us as a community collectively. And we're called to be attentive to the sins that we carry together, to collective sin as it takes form in oppression and division, in racism and sexism, in a way of being in the world that makes other people into others so that we can dismiss or demean or devalue. In this world, we're invited to take up Lent as a season to savor softness. Our scripture passages for today offer us some help. The Psalm 25, is a prayer from a heart in need, asking God's help, asking not to be left alone or to be destroyed. But it calls again and again, especially in the second half of this reading, calls out the qualities of God that are beautiful and tender and loving and soft. It calls out a God of mercy and of steadfast love. Now, the Hebrew word translated here as steadfast love can also be translated as loving kindness, which honestly I prefer, because steadfast love sounds solid and unchanging, but loving kindness feels like it's got a softness and a suppleness in it, that it's working with us to draw us toward something else. And this is how I believe that God is active in the world, working with us, coming to be present and drawing us toward what is possible. Our gospel lesson for today borrows texts that we've already had in this year's lectionary, the end of one and the beginning of another, but it also gives us the section in the middle. It's really three short stories, moments from Jesus' life at the beginning of his ministry, here from the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. First, Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River. He goes into the river, submerged under its waters, dying to what he was so that he can be raised out of the water in new life. And in that moment, the clouds are torn open, and whatever divide we may have imagined between God in God's place of majesty and power in this world, in its complexity and struggle, becomes transformed because the heavens are torn open and God's voice descends. The Holy Spirit comes in that moment, reminding us that we are not entirely separated from God, but that God's presence is here in our very midst. And after declaring Jesus God's own beloved Son, the Holy Spirit sends Jesus out into the wilderness, where for 40 days he's tested by Satan with wild beasts, and he's attended to by angels. In these few short verses, Mark, in his customary fashion, packs a lot of implication and action into just a few words. It's full of a kind of wild life. Jesus, driven by the Holy Spirit, where he's tested by Satan, where wild beasts are present and he's attended to by angels. We have a sense of the intensity of life. And honestly, in these days, I feel connection to Jesus like I have at few times in my life. These passages become ones in which I feel the gift of the incarnation as a gift of a God who is present with us, who knows the struggle of life, who's survived the wilderness with wild beasts and angels. It gives me hope for each week, each day, these days. Then, following the scene in the wilderness, Jesus survives and is sent out to the work of proclaiming the gospel. After John's death, he proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ, inviting people to know that the kingdom of God has drawn near, that the time is now. In this three-scene movement, the gospel writer conveys to us a gift from early in Jesus' life that connects our struggles to God's very being, that allows us to see in Jesus one who has persisted and persevered in the midst of struggle, and who is announcing that there's another way of being, even here and now. This week I was grateful to get to watch The Black Church, a new special on PBS that traced the history of the Black Church in the U.S., It was a beautiful reminder that our Christian faith, though sometimes the dominant voices we hear in our culture represent a very conservative white form of Christianity, that there is concurrent with that a long and deep and faithful tradition of Christianity rooted in the lives and experience of Black Americans. To trace that history was a gift to me this week. Along the way, I had occasion to ponder the many ways that my faith has been shaped by the gifts of the Black Church. Among the stories was the story of Rutha Mae Harris and others who were freedom singers during the civil rights movement. This group of Black musicians traveled not only to raise awareness about the struggle for civil rights, but also to raise money to support the movement They helped raise material support that enabled the work of Martin Luther King Jr. and others who helped press onward for civil rights in the U.S. Rutha Mae Harris, in the documentary that aired this week, talked a little bit about the power of music. Music, she said, the songs had the power to make her less afraid, to make those in the struggle less afraid. I was reading another article about Rutha Mae Harris, where she described more deeply the reality of the power that that spiritual music had to cast out fear, to be transformation. She described how the songs, when they were being sung, made her unafraid of the police coming to arrest her. She described the nonviolent resistance tactics she had learned as a part of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee to go limp when arrested and to go to jail, all the while being filled with a song that sang of a deeper reality, that sang that she would not be moved, that sang of a power to ground and root and fill her body and life with a something else. For me, when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, when he announces that the time is now, this is the kind of movement, the possibility that Jesus was speaking of. How here, even in the midst of the struggle, we're allowed to participate in a something else, in a something deeper and something stronger. It's not escapism. It's not flying off to Cancun in the midst of a loss of power and electricity in your home state. It's a being present in the midst of the struggle. It's a leaning in to the pain and difficulty, a pushing firmly against oppression, all the while participating in a something more. She described how the songs brought joy even into the jail. And in the weeks that she spent in jail, over the course of her involvement in the civil rights movement, she described joy and life present even in imprisonment. If Rutha Mae Harris can experience this, then it means that we can also, in this present moment, even constrained by the realities of this present moment, experience a life and a joy that is worth savoring, that draws us onward to God and closer to one another, that helps us connect with the power of the Holy Spirit, that lets us say, in the face of a world that says we should be afraid, that we are free. And invites us to dare to believe that that freedom can only come in our connection to each other. It's a pushback against voices and forces that insist it's about our own survival, and instead an invitation to be tenderly in love with the world and one another. It's an invitation to a strong and deep and powerful kind of courage that's known in softness and tenderness. No one has helped me understand this relationship between vulnerability and courage more than Brené Brown, whose work in the area of vulnerability has caught the attention of many in our nation and world. Brené's work insists that despite messages that suggest bravery and courage have to do with standing firm and being hard, instead, courage is most visible in vulnerability, which risks change. The thing that's dangerous about vulnerability, about softness, is that it puts us at risk of something else happening. But isn't that what we hope for? Isn't that the claim that animates us every day? The daring belief that a something else is possible? The trust that if we let our hearts be broken open, they might grow larger, our capacity to love might be stronger and deeper and wider. We don't have to be the ones to take that first step, because God takes that step toward us first, offering us unconditional love and an unearned grace that invites us to dare to believe that we are precious and beautiful and beloved. In just a moment, Shirley Ann is going to sing for us a beloved gospel song written at the very beginning of the 20th century. This song has been sung by many over the years, recorded famously by Mahalia Jackson and Whitney Houston. The song, His Eye is on the Sparrow, is one that gives us hope and trust, that helps us put our claim in the possibility of love because we first have been known and loved and seen and cared for. The composer of the lyrics of this song describes how she was inspired by a visit to an older couple named Doolittle, Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle. Both were what we would call today homebound. Mrs. Doolittle had been bedridden for several months, and Mr. Doolittle long lived in a wheelchair because of physical disability. They always, however, possessed a certain strange, contagious joy, and they described where that joy came from using this line, "Because his eye is on the sparrow, I know he watches me." It gives us hope that we are known and beloved, that we are tender and precious, and lets us be daring, vulnerable people ready to be broken open. This Lent, I invite you to savor the gift of softness in yourself and in the world as a way to draw nearer to God. May it be so. Amen.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely?
Loving God, we turn our minds and hearts to you in this season of anticipation. We quiet our spirits and wait upon you to find a solemn space and time. So let the hurried pace of our world be quiet, and let us find moments of gentle stillness in the unhurried quest for the holy. We join with the whole world in a longing for healing. Hear our prayer. In this season of spiritual quest, we confess our restless ways and our natural bent for cynicism, denial, fear, and despair. Let us awaken to the love which surrounds us in so many places and with so many signs of your everlasting care. Give strength to those who have served these long months as caregivers, healers, teachers, and protectors. Let us find courage and strength to join in this essential work on behalf of our needy neighbors, precious children, and those who are suffering in hunger or in the cold. Bring us together that our churches will be at their best when needed most. Teach us how to love as you love and care as you care. Extend the arms of our reach to those who are close by and even far away. And as we long for the human touch and warmth of family and friends, make us ever mindful of those who have so little. Even as we long for community, draw us together in strength and in faith. We give our worship in the hope that once again we will be drawn to your everlasting love and will pass it on in this holy season. All this we pray in your holy name. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, we are together as we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you so much for being with us for worship today. I hope that you have felt God's presence and experienced the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as always, I continue to go deeper in your life of faith and in your connection to this congregation. This season of Lent is a beautiful time to call attention and attentiveness toward God's presence in the midst of our world. And one of the ways that we do that is by actively working to savor life, and this week especially to savor softness. As I mentioned earlier, I encourage you to be mindful and attentive to the gift of life where it is to be found here and now, where it is a beautiful presence in our midst. And I invite you to share about that on social media or with friends. I encourage you to use the hashtag SaverLife and hashtag WestwoodUMC. I welcome you to our follow-up conversation after worship this morning. You're invited to join in that opportunity for a very small group conversation and meeting together as a large class. I also encourage you to continue to check in with our e-news every week to see how you might be involved. If you're not already signed up for our list, you can do that at westwoodumc.org/connect. And thank you to everyone who gives tithes and offerings in support of our ministry. We encourage you to give. You can do that through our website or by mail. This morning, we have a prayer shawl. It's for Ellen Evans, AG of our congregation, as she grieves the death of her father, Paul Evans. We give thanks for his life and the way that his love has shaped Ellen and so many others. We pray for her in a time of grief, as the distance between Bethesda, Maryland, and Los Angeles feels so great in this time. We pray that God's comfort would connect her to family and love and the divine. Will you pray with me? Holy God, we pray that you would pour out your blessing on Ellen and all who grieve the death of Paul Evans. We give thanks for his life. And we pray that you would offer comfort to all who grieve, that you would draw closer together all who remain in this life, and that you would fill us always with the gift and blessing of your Holy Spirit. We pray in your holy name. Amen. As you go out from this time together, I pray that you would have the gift of divine life to lead you, just as it led Jesus from baptism through the wilderness into his ministry. May we be drawn by an invitation of life, and may you savor goodness and beauty, justice and love, wherever it is to be found, wherever we are to make it together. Be in peace. Amen.